And I mean, they want their short message. They got sore bottoms. They don't want to hear anything new. They don't want evangelism. They don't want change. I mean, it's whatever. I mean, he has to fight that constantly. Yet over here, they want to learn how to evangelize. They want to learn how to reach out to people. They want to learn how to love people. They want to learn how to prophesy. They want to learn how to pray right. You know what I mean? So, yes, it's made a difference. We've been at this since January 1st, 2016. And it's made a difference. Amen? My church is backing me. My church is praying for me, and we're going wherever. And the last place you think you might be able to talk to somebody and say something, I mean, you just drop a little bit of a seed, and they turn around, and they're ready to hear some more. They want to hear some more, and they want to hear some more. I remember Sarah and I were on a plane, and we had a Pakistani girl that was against the wall. And I'm telling you, she was scared. She was fine. She didn't want to talk to us. I mean, nothing. But I'll tell you, when we hit turbulence, it was like motorbout. I'm scared. She started crying. Sarah's trying to comfort her. I was reading a book, and I could see that she was tormented. And I mean, it was like I just shut my book, put my hand over on her, and I said, "Fear not. Fear not. We're going to be okay. We're going to be safe." And so Sarah and I, we all kept talking to her, distracting her. And by the time we landed, we knew where we were going to get to eat. And she said, "When you come to Pakistan," we were going into Bona or something like that. Benai. And her, come to find out, her parents are advisors to the president of Bona. Amen. Her mom meets us, and her dad's there at the airport. And when I talked to the mom, I guessed which one was, because we got through before she did, because all we had was a carry-on, because we were just doing an overnight and going back. We had a hub that we were going to these different countries. And, I mean, you talk about divine appointments. They let me pray for them. Pakistanis, let me pray for them. They're the ones that have the domes and the things where they wear their head. And it was Ramadan. It was Ramadan. You know, God's favor. I mean, the mom says, "Can we take you to dinner? We can't do it. Ramadan's until 8 o'clock. If we can you wait till that late to for us to take you to dinner?" And she said, "Our daughter wants you to go to this pizza place." "What kind of pizza is it?" "Pizza Hut." "Pizza Hut." "But I'm going to tell you, they make the best chicken, garlic, honey glazed pizza I've ever ate in my life. That's the only place they make it. And that's where they wanted to take us." And I could tell you so much about that, but I won't tell you anymore other than our divine appointment with her. We got to find out about a country. We got to be right in front of the presidential palace. We went to all four mosques, looked at all four mosques. I mean, because it was Ramadan, we really couldn't go in. But if it wasn't Ramadan, we could have gone in, and I would have left my footprints in every one of them. Amen? Amen. You guys, tonight, I mean, it's 10 o'clock, but I want to bring something to your attention. Because when we pray, if we have guile in our heart, our prayers are not going to hit God's throne room at all. God's looking for us not to have any guile. Now, does that mean you're perfect? No. But what it means is your heart has no ill intent on purpose to hurt anyone. We all make mistakes. And I can tell you, I can pick a no-guile person like that. That they have no intention of hurting you at all. When I get to lay hands on a lot of you in this room, I see the no-guile. I see the righteousness. I am so blessed what I get to see. Amen? But that's what God wants. No guile. And if you've got guile in you, by the way, your prayers are not going very far. Because he doesn't want to hear it. Because you've got something inside of you blocking your prayers. And if it's an attitude, if it's unforgiveness, if you're a thief, if you're a liar, if you're, you have all those little sins that go on. I mean, your prayers are not going to go anywhere. You want your prayers to go somewhere? God says walk righteously. Not self-righteously. Righteously. I have a lot of friends that they have made their self right as rain. I'm going to be perfect. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. By the way, guys, I don't do any of that. And guess what happened? You became self-righteous. And God says, you are so protecting yourself, you have no room No wiggle room. You have no open space for me. And he wants you to ask him to make you righteous in Jesus Christ. Right standing with God through that door that's been made, that way that's been made through Jesus Christ. Amen? He's gonna command. You got to go through Jesus Christ to get to God. He didn't waste his time on the cross, did he? Think about that. So let me take you somewhere and just leave you with some thoughts before you go, because I want to prepare you for tomorrow night, because tonight is about bondage. Some of you are in bondage. Maybe every one of you, when I read what I'm going to read to you, you're going to go, oh my gosh, I got to get rid of that. And you're going to get rid of that. And tomorrow night, we're going to have a message on freedom. And I mean, it's going to be a blowout tomorrow night. Amen? And when you come, I want you to bring somebody that's sick. I want you to bring somebody that's sick, and that we're going to, with our cleanness, we're going to have the faith to believe that our prayers are powerful, will not come back void. Amen? We're going to believe by faith. He said, I want you to love me. I don't want you to be picky about your love. I want you to love me. I want you to love my people. If you say you love me, and you say you love yourself, and you love half of this room, but there's a few people over there you don't love, then you are a liar. And it's that simple. Sad, but that simple. You got to love everybody. Amen? I don't know about the like. We'll discuss that another time. So, America has an epidemic sin problem with both the church and the lost. Do you believe me? It's the truth. The church isn't perfect. In fact, the church is for the sinner, isn't it? But we got to quit sinning. Amen? But it's for the lost. And, you know, it's like we want to stay away from the black sheep. But God says, I love the black sheep too. Amen? Don't prejudge them. Because they might be that close to flipping, that close. And you might be the key that flips them. Or you may be the hammer that seals their fate negatively. Think about that when you meet a black sheep. Amen? Amen? Yes. The Lord says, if the church desires to reach the unsaved, we need to be set apart. Let me ask you this. Do you want everybody you can come encounter with? Do you want them saved?
Yes.
Seriously? You want them saved? I have that burning in me. I mean, I have cried in my church and said, I want to evangelize. I do, but you know, it's like, I really want to be out there like Billy Graham, and I want to evangelize. And God said, I gave you a call. I gave you a call to leaders. Leaders that have ears to hear. You're going to go to the broken leaders, and you're going to build them up. You're going to encourage them. You're going to point out who they really are and who they are to me. And I go, but I want to go in mission. I want to go here. I want to go there. Well, he lets me do that too. And I love to do that. But he said, I've sent you to leaders. He's taken a little Peter and sent him to the rich and the affluent. And I feel like sometimes when I open my mouth, I mean, I feel like my IQ is about 5. They're not going to want to listen to me. And wherever we go, they think I'm intriguing, because I have two stories about God that they just hang on to. And they're true stories. He's real. He's alive. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, is emulating Christ. Amen? And while we're emulating Christ, they're going to see what's in you, and they're going to try to emulate you until you say, this is Christ in me. This is why I am who I am. This is what I love. This is what I live for. Then you have to decide if you want to sacrifice some things, because there's a cost. There is a cost. It's a good cost to pay if you really love what you're doing. Amen? God commands the church, be holy as I am holy. We have so much mixture right now. It's like we've watered it down. It's like, oh, God doesn't really care about that. I can keep doing that. It doesn't matter to him. It does matter to him. It matters to him more than you realize. We need to be praying for America. I tell you what, America's in bondage, the sin that prevents our prayers from being heard by God. A lot of stuff's going on. The world is we're a part of the world, and we're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be aliens passing through. And when we stop and we partake with what the world has to offer, our eyes are being moved. Our focus is being lost from God to this object or this thing or this label or whatever it is that we're striving for. Amen? We need to ask God, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Lord, I understand you won't hear me. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And then say, tell me what I'm doing wrong. Convict me. Because what's happening is he convicted you when you first started doing it, but you ignored it. It's not that big a deal. And each time you do it, it's less and less. You feel bad about it. Next thing you know, I don't feel bad about doing it. I don't think God minds. See what the lie is we say to ourselves? And I could give you all kinds of examples, but I don't want to distract you. What I want you to do when you go home is think about the list I'm about to speak to you about. He says, confess. Repent and confess. Confess your sins before the Lord and that sin against the Lord. We can confess it directly to him. Or if we got a sin against a brother or a sister, we need to confess that. Amen? And God is there if you're sincere. He's there to forgive you. And he says, forgive yourself now. Amen? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John 1:9. Let me read it again. If we confess our sins, this is a promise. I've got so many promises that Jesus made. I've got them all written down. I hold on to those promises. I whittled them down to 200 promises that I just claim. I just claim them constantly. They haven't all come into fruition, but they will. God's got timing, his perfect timing. Amen? And I do humble myself under the mighty hand of God, so he'll exalt me at the proper time. God, I don't understand what I'm really doing here. Help me. Help me. I'll do it if you show me, if you lead me, if you guide me. And I get out of the way. I'm not going to drive the car. You drive. Amen? And I love to drive. I love to drive. Anyway, if you got something against somebody when we're taking communion, the Lord says what he wants you to do is to lay down whatever you brought to the Lord. Just lay it down and go make restitution to whoever you've hurt, whatever you've taken from somebody. Amen? And then I want to go through a list for you to think about. Because you're going to think, I don't think I'm that bad a sinner. I'm here in the church, and I do pretty good, and I read my Bible. Well, let me read some things that I've compiled here. Because God says this is a year to break bondage. Amen? Redemptive bondage. How about abusive speech? How about abusive speech? That's out of Ephesians 4:9. How about adultery? Cheating on your spouse. And by the way, just because you don't fully do it, if what you think is so you are, start repenting just by the temptation, and it'll flee from you. Expose the enemy for what he's doing, planting that seed of lies in your head. Start repenting that you even listen to it. Don't even listen to it. Amen? How about anxiety? Ever been anxious? How many of you in the room? Actually, what I'll say is, who is not anxious in this room? See, we all deal with anxiety. We do. And this is what the Lord told me. He said, Nancy, you don't get anxious, you get concerned. I'll allow concerned. But when concerned turns into anxiety, I'm no part of that. But I want you to be concerned. Concern for your loved one. Be concerned for your job, your boss, you know, the things that are going on. You can be concerned, but not to where your mind is totally obsessed with it and you're so anxious you want to go on Xanax. You know what I mean? How about lukewarmness, apathy? Apathy. Today I feel like it, tomorrow I don't. How about bitterness? How about bitterness? Do you have a bitter taste in your mouth because of something that's happened and you haven't been able to get rid of it? I'll tell you, it taints your prayers. It taints your heart. It taints your decisions. Amen? How about that carnal fleshly desire to please yourself? And that might be many, many, many things. Many things. Many things. Amen? How about cheating on your taxes? Ever cheat on your taxes? Oh, I'm not going to put that in there. They're not going to know about it. God knows. Amen. Your heart knows. Here's a good one. Chronic lateness. Chronic lateness. I mean, if you want to research that, Galatians 5:14 and 1 Corinthians 13:5. I mean, chronic lateness is rude. And you may not think it matters to anybody, but I'll tell you, the group that's waiting for you, she's late again, he's late again. Well, why don't we just say we're meeting an hour early? I mean, I've heard that. Let's just say we're meeting early so they'll get here on time. I've gone ministry trips, and I said, meet me down at 9 o'clock in the foyer of the hotel. Here they come 45 minutes later, and they want to go eat. It's like, be here at 9 o'clock. The taxi's going to be here. I've ordered a taxi. You know what I mean? They're not going to wait for us. So I'm telling you, being chronically late, it can be a deterrent. And you know, for those that are real punctual, give that person that's a little bit late a little bit of time, because they're adjusting to learning how to change that, because they didn't have anybody that really it mattered to. But now you're with a team, and it matters. Amen? How about complaining attitude or coveting or criticism? Do you have a criticizing heart? Please guard your heart. Amen? How about deceitfulness? Have you ever been disobedient to your parents? Did you ever repent? Every one of us at some time were disobedient. Did you make it right? They've already passed, but you still have that little tug on you when somebody does something. You know what I'm saying? It can be a detriment. How about being part of a division among believers? Come on, we don't always get along, let's just be honest, but we can ask God to forgive us for that and bring the healing. Amen? Get rid of it. How about people that like to drink, closet smokers and drinkers and whatever? And not that I have a problem with that, but I'll tell you what, if you're out there serving the Lord, who is watching? Who is trying to fashion their life after yours? Amen? Can you imagine how that would break their hearts if they knew? If they knew that you were a closet something, you know, and it's not, I'm not trying to bust anybody out here. I'm trying to help you realize that these are the things that cause you to stand in the gap. How about false doctrine? Are you easily deceived by false doctrine? I know a bunch of people, I mean, I'm constantly saying, whoa, let's reel it in here. Wait a minute, where is this coming from? This is a little cultic here. And evil desires. Who likes to exaggerate? You're a talker and you like to exaggerate? You know, I'm a fisherman. I like to exaggerate. I'm not exaggerating, but it's the one that almost got in the boat. It was huge. I'll tell Elisa, that it was huge, wasn't it? She said, yeah. I thought it was bigger than that. Failure to help the poor widows and the orphans. Does it matter? Does it matter? If it doesn't touch you that you're around somebody that has nothing and you have a lot and you don't want to do anything to help them, God is going to deal with you. How about failure to mature in Christ? You want to just go this far. I know a lot of people, I'm happy this far. Don't bump me, don't push me. I don't want to be stretched anymore. I'm happy where I'm at. I can't do anymore. And I'm telling you, you need to repent for that, because you're constantly growing. You're constantly evolving. That's the problem. That's the purpose. I mean, it's wisdom, common sense. The living of God in you is going to continue to grow. Amen? And God wants to use you. How about failure to treat God as he is holy? Do you treat him as holy? He is holy. Amen? Do you fail to teach your children the instructions of the Lord. I'm just going to tell you straight up. A lot of children that are in trouble today is a part of because their parents didn't care about God, didn't go to church or whatever. And what happened is they got derailed. They got derailed. And I'll tell you, if you got a church and you're not teaching your children the power of God, just only the form of godliness, but no power, they go off to college, they're going to get ate up. They're going to get laughed at and spit out. They mention anything about God, they pray. I'll tell you, those non-believers are going to grab you because where's the power within that can resist that? Just the form is not going to cut it, I know. How about grieving the Holy Spirit? How about greed? If this is something that you have issues with, we're almost done here. This is something at the altar. I want you to come up and repent. And there'll be somebody up here to pray and agree with you. You're going to pray and repent. They're going to agree with you. Amen? You go home crispy clean. Amen? Husbands are to be the spiritual leaders and covering of the home. Did you know that? They are. That's what the Bible says. They are our covering. If they're not doing that, they're in error. Pray for your husband. Don't beat him down and say you're supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home and you're a jerk. Don't do that. Start praying. You know, the scripture that I love to really pray over my husband before he became who he is today was Colossians 1, 9 through 12. And I put Henry's name in there. I put his name in there, and I thank God for him, for what he was doing with his mind, his heart, his whole being, his spiritual life. I'm telling you, I would pray that every night. I put my toe over on him after he went to sleep. I put it in the bell of his hat. I put it on the bottom of his lunch pail under his napkin. I mean, it was whatever I could do that. I prayed that consistently in my journals. I prayed Colossians 1, 9 through 12, and put my husband's name in there. And you know what? He is an awesome teacher. He's an awesome pastor. He's an awesome man of God. Amen? And I mean, I know it's my prayers and his willingness to obey God. True, Henry? How about hypocrisy? How about ignorance of the word? Don't be lazy about the word. Read it. God will give you understanding. If you're interested in the mysteries of the word, ask him about it. But spend time in the Word and let him begin to just take you back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. He loves to reveal things to you. Amen? He loves to see your eyes go, aha! He loves that. Amen? How about impure thoughts? Amen? How about lack of faith? Lack of faith. How about lack of spiritual wisdom? Lack of trust in God. Do you trust God? Do you really trust our Almighty that nothing's impossible with Him? You know, the thing that I work through when something comes, an event comes into my life, I'm trying to figure out, okay, is this a test, God? Are you allowing this because there's something you want to do with me or it's going to help somebody else? I mean, I go through the list. I know He can heal me. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Do you do that? It's like, I want you to heal me. I believe you can heal me. Do you have something else in mind? Please let me know. I want to know the right way to pray. Father, I'm in your will. What do you want? Amen? The girls will tell you, that's what I do. Are you uncompassionate? Because we can be selective on who we'll be compassionate to and who we won't be. We have some of these lines we will not go over. And God says, oh, really? What if He was like that with us? Amen? Do you have a temper? Do you have unforgiveness? Any kind of unforgiveness? Are you mad at yourself? Have you been in witchcraft? Have you ever been delivered of it? That is a very deep, deep place. And I've known people that messed with Ouija boards, never repented for it. And I'll tell you what, the devil's got a door open to you. And he plays his cards close to his chest and he waits until you're in a very, very good place spiritually. And then you have a vulnerable moment and it's like he's whispering. Remember what you did with that Ouija board? You want to find out the answer? You want to know the direction to go? You're going, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And you're tormented by it. And the only way that you really can get rid of it is to repent you ever did it. And then it's gone. He can't use it against you anymore. Amen? Okay. Have you been presumptuous? Do you try to guess what God wants? I promise you, it's like when the Lord comes to speak to me, I literally labor at, Lord, is that you? I'm almost certain there's some cues that I pretty much know it's him, but then I got to get in the Word. I got to see where it's in the Word. I have a covering that I go to, my husband mostly, and I go, this is what the Lord is saying to me. I believe this is him. Are you hearing this too? 9 times out of 10, Henry will say, I am. I know what's going on. And he'll explain it to me a little more because I don't understand it. Sometimes I don't understand it. And he'll explain it to me and I'll go, oh. So bondage can be lots of things. I just named a few there. But bondage could be anything that's going to keep you from God. To be free, to worship him, to love him, to serve him. If there's some kind of addiction in your life that is more important than God, I'm telling you, God knows that. It's going to hurt him bad. If your dog is more important, Henry is not more important than God. He's not. I love him with all my heart, but I'll tell you what, God is first. That's the order of our home. Henry loves me with all of his heart, but I know that God, he loves God first. Amen? That's how it works. And the closer we get to God, the closer we can be. We trust each other. We love each other. I mean, we're not perfect. I mean, we have little tiffs once in a while. I think iron sharpens iron. Amen? But I'm telling you, bondage in something stands between you and God. And it could be the simplest thing. It may be, I want my toast very, very burnt cooked. And the waitress comes back, it's not burnt cooked enough. Take it back. I want it to burn it. I want it black when you come. I used to be a waitress. I used to have a man that did that. He was a pastor.
Was it my dad?
The more burnt it was, the better it was. And I wasn't the one. I wasn't the cook that did it. I was just the waitress. And I'd bring out, you know, put burnt toast. It's Reverend Timer. Reverend Timer, his time ran out. He's in heaven. Burnt toast. Not really. So I want you to just take a minute right now, close your eyes, and I just want you to think about bondage. Is there some bondage going on in you? Do you feel like you're unequally yoked and you feel betrayed? And you struggle and you have to woman up, man up. You always got to be the one that has to step forward because you're the Christian in the family. If you're feeling bitterness about that, you're harboring anger, do you know that it's hurting your prayers? It's hurting your walk? It's hurting your righteousness in God? You know yourself more than anyone else. You know the area that you need to work on. And I just, as you got your eyes closed, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask God to really soften your heart toward yourself. If you're judging yourself so harshly, you won't come up here because you'll feel so ashamed. But you should not feel ashamed because God will be so proud of you because you're going to get rid of something. And I'm going to have my speakers that have been working and their wives or a partner to come up here. That's the team I'm going to have up here to minister. Some of my Point of Hope leaders come on up here in twos. Come on up here. And they're going to be available for you to come up and say, and you know what? If you don't want to say the sin, you don't have to. Just say, I have a sin, a personal sin. Will you just pray for me? And as they're praying, you repent for that sin. And they're going to agree with you. Amen? You may want to talk about it a few minutes. You might want to work it out so that you can explain it the best that you can. John, would you come on up with your wife? Amen. You two, be up here. Where's Henry? Honey, do you feel like praying for people? Okay, I'm looking around for more help. Where's Nancy Robinette? Because she would love this. Well, that's okay. Anyway, this is how we're going to close tonight. I don't want you to leave tonight without being blessed, without being encouraged. God's going to do some bondage breaking up here. Amen. If I shared something that touched your heart, if it goes back to your parents, if it goes to your children, if it's your job, if it's something personal, so personal within you. I mean, there's no shame up here. Amen.